Good morning. Well, a couple of days early, but Happy New Year, huh? Man, oh man, did this year fly. Woo! It's going faster and faster. That means the Lord is coming sooner and sooner. Woo-hoo! Great. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, we're still taking a break from our Colossians, the preeminence of Christ. And we're heading into a new year in just a couple more days. And so I thought that it would be good to talk about what God is doing and what God intends to do in our lives should we submit. Now, what was interesting is I ran across a YouTube video that you would think that the news media at the end of the year would be covering some serious issues like natural disasters, famine, wars, rumors of wars, storms, all kinds of stuff. But it was interesting that not only were they not doing their job covering real news, but they obviously lack some creativity. So if we could get the lights, I would like to show you what I'm talking about. Watch the screen.
Who are you really shopping for this holiday season? It's okay. You can admit it if you've bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
Well, it's okay. You can admit it if you have bought an item or two or maybe 10 for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it. You've bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it if you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it if you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it if you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it, Todd. If you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or maybe 10 for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought one or two or maybe three or four, maybe even 10 items for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or 10 for yourself.
It's okay. You can admit it if you bought yourself with one or two or 10 things for yourself because a lot of people do it.
Can you say plagiarism? Let's all admit it. Listen, resolutions, New Year's resolutions are the same way. I wonder if every year, if we had a video on you for your New Year's resolution, if it would look just like that. Same resolution every year, every year, every year. I looked up the top 10 New Year's resolution, and here they were. Cut down on the time that my children spend in front of the TV. There's a good one. Learn something new. Start journaling faithfully. Start up my own business. Get healthier. Have a real family night once a week. Spend more time on what I want. Get organized. Here's one. Get out of debt. And the number one New Year's resolution? Lose weight. Yes, very good. Awesome. You know, Annetta once told me something I never forgot. Annetta said, listen, take your New Year's resolution, write it on a popsicle stick, and then break it and get it over with. And I thought, that's a great idea. But here's a cool quote that we should think about. Though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. Ooh, I like that. You see, you might make a resolution, but I'm going to ask you to forget about resolution and make a commitment. You see, a resolution is one thing. A commitment is something completely different. And God wants commitment from our lives. Commitment makes all the difference in the world. Actually, commitment comes from commandment, right? God gives us a commandment, and we are to be committed to complete the commandment. Now, as we look at a new year, that means change, right? The numbers change. We go from 2013 to 2014, and you're going to make the mistake of writing 13 for half the year. But the numbers change, but so often, nothing else in our life changes. And that's not good. You know, it's funny, I often ask people, hey, how you doing? And people say, especially at the beginning of the new year, same old thing, new year. And I go, great, good to see you recycle. That's funny, but it's not funny if the same old thing means the same old sin. That's not good. We need to be about moving forward with God and striving to have more godly lives. We should see change from year to year as we walk with the Lord. So important. I like this quote. Failure is the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. I like that. But let me reword it. Failure is the opportunity to begin again more spiritually. Because that's ultimate wisdom. That's ultimate intellect, is to relinquish your will to the ultimate intellect, to the ultimate intelligence, God's will. And that would be spiritual. So if you want to begin again this year more intelligently, then seek the one who is the most intelligent. Seek his will. Seek his plan. Do it his way, not my way. You know, when I was a singer, people always asked me, hey, Randy, sing my way, my way. But now I listen to those words to the song My Way, and I go, wow, what an ungodly song. I did it my way. I did this my way. It's an anthem to self, and that's not good. How about I did it his way? That's a much better song. So I've entitled our message this morning, We've Only Just Begun. And we're going to start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to do a little bit of Bible hopping, Bible bus, but please follow along. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Question. Does this scripture apply to you? If it does, then you're in a good spot. Because it should apply to you. Why? Here's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Yes, awesome. I heard someone say yes. They're excited about it. Way to start the new year. Love it. But if you're not, you can be today, and I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of service to say, you know what, I'm going to start this new year off right. I'm going to surrender to the most intelligent person being ever, and that's Christ. So he says this, if you are in Christ, and I hope you are, if you are in Christ, and if you're not, I hope you will be, that person, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What is that? Change. God loves change. Change is good. But change can be scary, right? I remember when I was young, I hated to change a new school. Oh, scary. Am I going to be, you know, I'm going to be looked at as a nerd? Am I going to be picked on? Well, none of those things ever apply to me. No, I mean, what's it going to be like? But yet, it's a part of everyday life, isn't it? Change. Right? We go from day to night. We take that for granted. That's not scary. We go from summer to winter and other stuff in between, but go hot to cold. Caterpillar becomes a butterfly. A seed breaks, becomes plant, becomes fruit, and then new seeds. And this week, we start a new year. The new year isn't scary, right? It's like, okay, sometimes it doesn't even feel any different. Kind of like a birthday, right? You have birthdays, and it doesn't feel any different. People go up and say, hey, how do you feel? I don't know. I feel winded because I blew out the candles. I don't know. What, how am I supposed to feel? Full? You know, it's interesting. I had a friend, not very wise. He walked up to this lady, and he said, excuse me, ma'am, how old are you? Yeah, you go, yep, you weren't very wise. And she looked at him and she goes, son, that's my business. He goes, well, looks like you've been in business a long time. Yes, he's not very bright. Notice it's always I have a friend. It was me. No. Yeah. But we've only just begun. Every year that goes by, this last year passed quickly. What was accomplished in your life for the glory of God? You know, I have an awesome friend. Great. But this isn't the same guy. Different guy. He's a great pastor. Awesome. Awesome pastor. We may even have him here. If we do, I won't tell you he's the one. But this guy is an awesome pastor, great teacher, and he has a business. Now, his business is flourishing like crazy, but his church is hurting. And I looked at him and I said, bro, what do you think God's going to say to you when you get to heaven? Is he going to say, wow, man, what a business you're running? Or is he going to say, what'd you do with the church I put you over? I said, are you a businessman or a pastor? He said, I'm a pastor. I said, then start pastoring. You're good at it. Listen, are you worldly? Are you Christian? Are you world-like? Are you Christ-like? Look back at your life and ask yourself, look back, don't not even your life, just this last year, and say, all right, Christian, what did I accomplish to bring God glory? Were you busy about your business, about your work, about your family, about your school, about all those things? All those things are good, and you should do them as unto the Lord. But what have you really done for the Lord just to bless his name? God loves new beginnings. He does. I was lost, and now I'm found. New beginning. Today, you could have a new beginning. We're starting a new year. Don't make a resolution, make a commitment to make a change. In God's creation, his design, we see change. We see new beginnings. Look at the Bible. In the Bible, we see the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to see a new heaven and a new earth. There's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We have so many that receive new names. We become new creatures. We get a new nature. We're going to get new bodies. Yeah. And of course, over and over again, we see about singing a new song unto the Lord. But one thing doesn't change. In all of creation, in all of the universe, in all of the world, in all of the Bible, one thing does not change. And the only thing that should not change and does not change is God. The Lord doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. The Lord Jesus, Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word, Luke 21:33, the heaven and earth will pass away, but my word by no means will pass away. It doesn't change. The Father doesn't change. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, the Father doesn't change. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change. The Word doesn't change. The Spirit doesn't change. He stays the same. His Word stays the same. Everything else, everything changes. Why does God not change? Why? He doesn't grow. He doesn't age. He doesn't change. For us, we're going to what? We're going to learn. We grow in learning. God doesn't learn. We grow from child to adult. We age. In fact, did you know that birth leads to death? From the moment you were born, every step you take is a step towards leaving this life. And so it's important today, as we move to a new year, another step towards the new heaven and new earth, where are you going to go? That's the real question. And God is saying to you today, listen, we've only just begun to scratch the surface. You know, as I was thinking about change over this Christmas season, you know, if you hang around with kids, one thing that you will notice is that toys change, right? We had a white elephant gift exchange, and someone got a Slinky. I'm thinking, woo, that'll take you back, won't it? Right? When we were kids, I mean, a Slinky, it's a spring, and I liked it. It's like, woohoo, I'm playing with the spring. But today, man, kids have amazing toys. Half the kids I see play with iPads. And what do they say? I'm bored. I'm like, what are you talking about? I had an Etch-a-Sketch. That was the closest thing to a computer. And all I could do was make stairs. I was the best stair maker ever. Light bright, how about that? Oh, here you go, here you go. Now what do they have? They have airsoft guns and Nerf guns that shoot like 100 of these Nerf things across the room and stick to the wall. What do we have? Squirt guns. The squirt guns where the water's dripping down your arm. And if you want to get anyone wet, you got to say, stand over there while I shoot this way. All right, I think I'm getting you now. Everyone fighting to try and get that whole thing under the... But at the same time, you're fighting against the gun because they had that plastic waxy thing in the way. But I digress. 1 Corinthians, Paul puts it so clearly. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, change. However, I'm still a child. It was so cool. Someone bought me a remote control helicopter. It is the bomb. I'm like, they know me. I'm a big kid. But you know what? I need to be more like Paul. Okay. I just don't tell y'all, don't know that I'm a kid. But there's change that takes place in our lives. We should be seeking new things. But the things that we are seeking should be the things that bring God glory. In the song New Year's Day by YouTube, they say this is the golden age. And it's the gold that is why the wars we wage or something like that. We so often fight for gold. We fight for things. We fight for things that don't matter. When we should be striving for things that last eternally, we've only just begun. Now, here's some more examples. God loves change. You become a new creature. Did you know when you became a new creature, God gave you a new name? We just don't know what it is until we get to heaven. Some people had the benefit of knowing what their new name was here on earth. Abraham. He was Abram, which means high father, and he was turned into Abraham, which means father of a multitude. And he had no children for a long time. You're Abraham, father of a multitude? Your wife's barren. Sarai, his wife, my princess, was turned to Sarah, mother of nations. Now, we know from history that, you know, eventually the descendants of Abraham, you know, Father Abraham had many sons through Isaac, then through Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob began the nation of Israel. But also through Abraham and Hagar became the Muslim country, the Muslim nation. Talk about a family feud. But anyways, they lived up to the name that God changed their name to. In Genesis 32:28, we have Jacob. His name meant supplanter, conniver, heel catcher. And God changed his name from that to Israel, which means governed by God. And of course, in the New Testament, there are many others. In the New Testament, though, we have Simon, which means God heard. His name was changed to Peter, which means rock. I like that. I like my name to be changed to Rocky. Adrian. Anyways, so he had his name changed. But by the way, please take note, when Jesus was occasionally hanging around with Peter, sometimes he would call Peter Simon after he had already changed his name. It was sometimes when Peter was acting like the old self, Jesus would remind him, hey, you're being more like Simon than you are Peter, this new creation that you're supposed to be. Same thing with Jacob. You'll see that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And sometimes he's called Israel when he's abiding in God's word. But when he's not, God refers back to him as Jacob because he's once again doing it in his own flesh. Let me ask you, how often is God referring to you in the new name? And how often would he refer to you in your old nature and your old way? Now, if you're like me, you can look back at this last year and go, man, I could be more new-natured. I could strive to be more new natured. Well, how about we make a commitment this year, not a resolution, to be more new natured, to be more Christ-like. And God would do this, change a name, to remind them of the new mission in life. Do you know we all share one name that has changed about us? We all share the same name. You know what it is? Christian. No matter what your name has also been changed to Christian. Before I was saved, I could not tell someone I was a Christian. I didn't want to tell anyone I was a Christian. I thought Christians were weak. Little did I know, they were far stronger than I could even imagine. It's 10 times harder, more difficult. It's more punk rock, if you will, to be a Christian. See, that's the idea of punk rock, is to be so different than the world. They want to be different, big purple mohawk and black fingernails. But you go to a punk rock concert and there's 100 of them. It's like, that's not punk rock, you're following the crowd. What goes against the grain, what's really punk rock, is to be a Christian. You've seen your cinder sins, you're punk rock. You didn't know that, did you? I love this. God has a divine plan for you and I. In this new year, in the last year, in the years to come, if we will bend our will to his will. I love this. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, change, will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, till Christ returns. Till Christ returns, this verse tells me that God is going to be working on me. Now, the question is, has construction stopped? Right? What do people say? There's a, I think it was a casino or a resort that was supposed to be built in Laughlin, and they put up the structure and you can see it, but they stopped because they ran out of money and they ran out of other things. And people look at it and it's a waste of space. It's a waste of metal. It's a waste of concrete because it's not completed. Oh, sure, someone could say, yeah, we spent, you know, that's $5 million worth of metal and concrete. Boy, look at that. But it's of no use. You could say, I'm born again. I've received Christ. But maybe you're just a metal frame and concrete. You need the walls. You need the windows. You need the people. You need to be complete. You need to keep growing. Until when? Until when? Do we retire from Christianity? No. Until when? Till Christ returned. Has he returned? So we need to be changing every year. Because if not, then we're stagnant. If not, we're no different than that structure sitting over there on the Laughlin side. So when God, when you gave your life to Jesus, even today, God is saying to you, I've only just begun. But you quit. You stopped. You slowed down construction because you no longer submit. I love this example of change that kind of goes with us. It applies to us. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said to the disciples, he said this, come after me and I will make you become fishers of men. They were fishers of fish. And he says, I'm going to change you. It's a new year. I'm going to make you Christians. You're going to be fishers of men. I wonder if Peter looked at Andrew and said, boy, we're going to need a bigger boat. You know, I remember when I used to be in entertainment. I loved doing it. It was fun to an extent. It was sinful and horrible on another extent. But God gave me a complete life change direction. I never would have thought I'd be teaching the Word of God. When I graduated high school, I was just happy that I'd never have to read another book. Woohoo! Never gonna read another book. Now I read books all the time. Because God changed my life. Sent me in a new direction. And here's what I know. I'm still under construction. You know, if you ever come around me and you see me mess up, it's because that floor hasn't been completed yet. He's still working on that floor. Don't go to that floor. Another example of change is John the Baptist. What did he say? Well, John the Baptist would stand there and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." You know what repent means? Repent means if you're going one way, do a 180 and go the other way. That is huge change. Repent. That's a good place to start this new year. I love what Jesus says in Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 39. Now you might want to turn there. Luke chapter 5. Verse 33 through 39. Now the scribes come up to him, the Pharisees, and they say this: John's disciples often fast and prayed, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. And Jesus answered to them, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them?" In other words, when the bridegroom's there, it's a festival. There's a wedding coming. You're going to fast. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. So in other words, after I'm gone, they will fast. Here you go. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sew it onto an old one. For if he does, he will have torn the new garment. And the patch from the new will not match the old. No one pours new wine into old wine skins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin. The wine will run out, and the wine skin will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wine skin. You know what God is saying? I'm pouring my spirit, my new wine, into a new man or woman. He cannot put his spirit into a man or woman who is still operating the way that you and I used to operate. We need to operate differently. Otherwise, our life's a mess and we're just pouring out precious wine everywhere and it's of no good. It's not refreshing anyone. It's of no use. He wants to do something new. Now, this new wineskin is not talking about age. It's talking about attitude. It's talking about righteousness. So back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, look at what it says. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." Oh, that's the thing. We like new things, don't we? Yeah, we do. Especially useful things, like new cars, right? Who doesn't like a new car? A new house, that's always exciting. New clothes, hey, how about new shoes, right? Doesn't that feel good? You put on a new pair of shoes. I don't care if you're man or woman. You just want to walk around, right? Everyone's like, hey, look at it. All new shoes. Yeah, they're new shoes. We like it. It feels good. Why do we struggle with the new life as opposed to the old life? When you have new shoes, you put on the old shoes and they just feel grungy. But I'll wear these to work in. Right? But yet in our Christian walk, we're constantly wanting to go and put on the old clothes, the old sin. The Bible puts it this way, and we've referenced this quite often: as a dog returns to his vomit, so a man returns to his sin, his folly. That's putting on the old clothes. But it's even far worse than putting on old clothes, because God says it's like returning to vomit. God looks down and he says, "Oh, Randy, why? You're a new creature. Why? Why are you doing this? I've given you a new covenant, a new commandment, a new way of living. I've made you a new man and you're going back to the old?" No. See, the gospel shows us that we have to be new. Why? We have new beginnings. Why? Because in John 3, he says, Jesus says you must be what? Born again. Start all over again. All new. All different ideas. New creature. New way of thoughts. Not only that, we have a new position. Do you see that? Therefore, if any man is in Christ. See, before I was out of Christ. Now I'm in Christ. I have a new position. Have you ever been at a job and you're working a job and you get a promotion, more money, more pay? You have your own office? Could you picture yourself going back and going, nah, I just want to do what I was doing before? No, you want to be in that new position, enjoy, because you worked for it. Well, we didn't work for this, but this is far more precious than a position. We've been positioned in Christ, in God. That's our position. It's in God. And we go, maybe later, today I want to be in flesh. And the angels are all saying, wow, and you died for them, Lord? We don't get that. They have opportunity to walk and be within you in Christ. We don't have that. We're around Christ, around his throne. They can be in you, and they're going, no, we don't want that. We want flesh. And God says, I'm still working on that one. We may have to start all over. But to be in Christ, incredible. I often have a struggle just trying to grasp that concept. And that's the beginning. If you are a new creature, if you're in Christ, that's the beginning. And God says, that's just the beginning. We've only just begun. There's so much more. So we have a new position. We have a new character. He is a new creature. We become different. Now, not different in a superficial way. See, in this world, without Christ, there's differences, and they're all superficial. For instance, male, female. There you go. Black, white, red, brown, green, yellow, green. Whatever color you are. This is interesting. Someone once said, you're Caucasian. When you're cold, you're blue. When you're embarrassed, you're red. When you're sick, you're green. And you call me colored. I'm like, yeah, this. I hate titles. We're humans. We're people. What I love is that also here on this life, we have rich and poor. We have tall and short. Different languages, different customs. But none of that matters once you're in Christ. None of that. All of that is thrown to the wind. See, before we were Christians, this group of people would not be meeting here. If none of us were Christians, none of us would be here. But we gather together because our background, who we are, what we look like, does not matter. We are now given a new name, Christian. In heaven, nothing that we've done here on earth, nothing that we are here on earth, no differences will make a difference in heaven. I cannot wait. So these superficial differences are not that big a deal. The greatest difference is in Christ or out of Christ. That's the greatest difference. You see, when you're a Christian, you are way different. You're punk rock, remember? You're totally punk rock. You go against the grain. That's when you're different. Everything else, you're the same. Everything else. But he says here, continues, very important, old things have passed away. Behold, take a look, study, contemplate. New things have come. See, the old man, the old Randy, loved every kind of sin there was. Disgusting. Loved anger, loved the fight, loved drugs. Just terrible human being. A waste of human space. In fact, just turn on the TV. Turn on the TV and you will see that society has got sin down. They are good at it. They're so good at it, they've turned it into entertainment. People pay money to go see how well other people can sin. Wow. Just imagine if you and I were as good at being Christians, at living righteously, as being sold out to God, if we were as good at that as they are at sinning, what a difference we could make in this world. Hey, guess what? We got a new year coming. How about a commitment to be more Christ-like? How about a commitment to be sold out? How about a commitment to be so good at being Christ-like that people would go, I want what you got because it looks amazing. You have joy. There's a glow about you. There's something different about you. I don't like you, but there's something different about you. And whatever it is I don't like about you, I know it's what's missing in my life. That's why I don't like you. Remember a long time ago, one of the Charlie's Angels, yeah, this is how long ago I watched TV. One of the Charlie's Angels gals was doing a commercial for some shampoo, maybe Protein or Pro-V. And she, I don't know who it was, but anyways, I don't know the names, it's just some gal. Anyways, and she flicks her hair and she goes, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. I'm like, whoa, no, I hate you because you can see it. No. I'm teasing, I didn't hate her, but I'm just like, wow. But we should be able to say to people, by our life, don't hate me because I'm beautiful, because I'm in Christ. Is there anything more beautiful than seeing somebody walking in the Lord? Someone who says, oh, don't hate me because I'm beautiful, because their beauty is superficial, that's not beauty to me. I worked at Loser's Lounge, and all these guys were like, oh, look at her. And I'm like, that's not attractive. That is not attractive. Come to church and see the most beautiful women in the world are those who are filled with Christ. And ladies, is it not true that the most attractive man is one who is walking as Christ walked? That's why Ephesians says, wives, submit to your husband, but husbands, love your wife. How? As Christ loved the church. Why? Because a man that loves his wife as Christ loved, that's a handsome man to his wife. Guys, you want to look handsome to your wife? You can go to the gym. Awesome. Great. But be Christ-like. That's what's going to impress her. That's what's going to make her fall deeper and deeper in love with you. Hey, it's a new year. Ladies, nudge him. But the old man loved the sin. The old man ignored the consequence of sin as long as he could. Because oftentimes, consequences of sin slap you in the face and you can't ignore it. Then he throws a pity party or she throws a pity party. And then, woe is me, life's so terrible. And it's like, life's so terrible, you're reaping what you sowed. Very little thought the old man, the old woman, gave to the soul, the spirit, or his spiritual needs. Now, the new man should have an attitude that is different towards sin. Sin should not be as alluring as it once was. We need to walk righteously. It's an interesting verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. I'm going to read from the NIV. I think it translates it a little better than the New King James. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him nor knows him. That continues to sin, that's habitual sin. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil. Ooh. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. That's good change. I like that one. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, habitual sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. You see that change? See that change? Now, the cool part is in the same 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, hey, but if you do sin, just confess it. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you need to confess it and repent and turn away. You can't just confess it and confess it. Now, there are some examples in the Bible of some people who refuse to change. There are. Remember in Luke 18, the rich young ruler who said, oh, what must I do to be saved? And commandments, oh, I've kept all those since I was a little kid. My whole life, I'm, you know, kept all the Ten Commandments. Liar. So then Jesus hits him where it hurts. Okay, you're rich. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he went away sad. I'm not going to change. I don't want to be in Christ. I don't want to be in God. I want to be in flesh. The scribes and the Pharisees, those were the religious leader. They so did not want to change. They fought Jesus to death. To the death. The sad part is they didn't realize it was their own death, not his. How about this? Another person who doesn't want to change. Satan. Satan. He stood before God, led the angels in worship. And he says, I'll be like the Most High God. And God kicked him out. And instead of saying, oh, what have I done? Oh, God. No, instead he says, oh, I'll show you. Is that your heart? Are you like the rich young ruler? Are you like the scribes and the Pharisees who are just religious, but you don't want to change? Then you're no different than Satan in your heart. I know that's hard to say. Man, I know. Happy New Year. I know that's difficult to. But listen, I'm telling you this because I love you. And here's the thing. Any moment, any time, you and I can say, please forgive me. At any time, we can change. Look at, here you go. This is the one. This is the verse for this new year. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. 2014, let this be the earmark of our lives. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, where you are fallen. Repent. Do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand out of his place, except you repent. Remember where you're falling. Take a look. Look in the mirror and say, you know what, God, I'm blowing it here. I need help. Look at, I see the plank in my eye. I see the speck in my eye. I need to deal with it. So the key to that verse is remember, repent, and do or else. Remember, repent, do or else. Or I like what Paul says. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. And this is Paul writing to the Philippians. He's been ministering for a long time already. Coming close to the end. He says, brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended. I haven't reached it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press to the goal for the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? I press. That term press is like a runner who sticks his chest out and his neck because he wants to break that line. You know, you don't see a runner doing this. He's going to fall. Puts his chin up, chest out, break. And he says, where's his goal? To be in Christ. To be in Christ. And Christ in us. Should that not be what we strive for? But instead, we strive for everything else this world has to offer. We press for that new job. We press for that new car, the new house, the new clothes, the new shoes, the new whatever, hobby. We'll do anything for those things, but God is like, yeah, I'll give you Sunday. Wow. He's God. This life is short. You tell me. You told me at the beginning, man, 2013 went fast. Yes. And it goes faster and faster and faster. And we go, okay, time's running out. So that means I got to do more stuff for me. More stuff for me. Look at that. No. if time's running out, means he's coming soon. Or you pass from this life and you go meet him soon. And what you should be striving for is, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what Paul was striving for. See, we change, we grow, or we should grow. But the word stands, the word is true. The word is the only thing that doesn't change. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of God stands forever. Matthew 24:35, as I told you earlier, the heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And God's word says, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Are you new? This last year, 2013, was it more God-focused than 2012? Or was it just like 2012, just like 2011, just like 2010, just like years? And the only godly report you have is, yeah, I remember about 20 years ago, I used to serve the Lord, and I used to do this and do that, and God's saying, the race isn't over, bro. Has Christ returned? He's going to complete it. He's going to be working on you. He who is faithful will work on you until the return of Christ. Then you're complete. So my challenge, forget the resolutions. Make a commitment this year to be what you were called to be, a Christian, Christ-like. You were made for his good purpose. Ah, there's a concept. For God's good, I was made for God's good purpose. Yeah. He knitted you together in your mama's womb, and he said, yeah, for my good purpose. And we come out, we go, for my way. And God says, no, mijo. You got it wrong. But he's patient. And he's so good and kind that he waits for us to surrender to him. Amazing. I'm going to close with one last quote from Henry Ford. Here's what he said. Great quote. Listen to this. Coming together is a beginning. Staying together is a process. Working together is success. That's what the Christian family is supposed to be. That's what the church is supposed to be. Those who are coming together, staying together, working together. And then we become the body of Christ, functioning the way we were supposed to be. Let 2014 be a landmark year in your life when God is able to complete more of the building process in you than all the other years combined. It's up to you. It's your choice. He's not going to force you, but he sure would love to use you. And then when you do that, then God says to you, I've only just begun. Let's pray. God, Lord, we're just amazed at the fact that you've given us days and hours and months and years in which to seek to bring you glory, to seek to serve you, to seek to stir one another up to love and good works, to seek to have a life worthy of the name Christian, Christ-like. Lord, the part that I love is that your grace and your mercy is free. I only strive to be worthy because I love you, not because I have to. And so, Father, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters that, Lord, we'd never do things out of compulsion or feel obligated, out of obligation. But Father, that we would do things because we purely love you. That we would first and foremost surrender our life and let you work the way you want to work. Let you use us the way you want to use us. What an amazing thing. Christ in us, that hope of glory. Hope of glory. God, I sometimes don't even have a hope for tomorrow other than you. But to have hope of glory, it's beyond what my mind can comprehend. But your word is true, and I believe it, and I trust it. So, Lord, I hope and I believe in glory, the glory of your Son, alive in me, alive in me. I was blind, and yes, Lord, now I see your amazing, amazing grace.